Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today, we're going to take a look at a real estate deal gone wrong.
Oh, this is a good one.
It is. And it's one of those situations that I think a lot of people could find themselves in, without realizing it.
Absolutely.
So contracts, signatures, and a legal twist that could really happen to anyone.
You know, it's funny because when you think about real estate, you think about these big transactions.
Right.
You know, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars sometimes.
Yeah, huge.
And it all comes down to like these very specific ways of communicating and making sure you dot your I's and cross your T's.
Literally, yeah.
Literally. So it's really fascinating how important clear communication is in these agreements.
Exactly. And you know what's really cool about this case? We've got the actual excerpts from the court opinions. So you get to see how judges interpret the law.
Well, that's great. Like a behind the scenes look.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like peeking into their thought process. Ready to unpack this?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. So picture this. We've got John Roth, our would-be buyer, and he wants to purchase this piece of land from George Molson.
Okay.
They're using a standard California real estate form, you know, the kind you see all the time.
Pretty straightforward, right?
You'd think so. But here's where things get a little dicey.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
So Roth signs the form, but get this. He puts his signature in a section titled counter-to-counter offer.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, not exactly where you'd expect an I accept signature.
Right, not at all. That's definitely raising some red flags.
So the big question here is, did they actually form a binding contract?
Right, because you would think a signature means, yes, I agree.
Exactly. So before we get into the court's decision, can you kind of remind us, you know, like what contract law really looks at?
Sure. So it's all about objective manifestations of intent.
Objective manifestations. That sounds fancy.
Well, it's just a fancy way of saying what a reasonable person would understand from the party's actions.
Got
it. Not just what they're thinking in their heads, but what they're actually doing.
Okay, so even if Roth meant to accept the offer, his actions, in this case his signature, might tell a different story.
Exactly. And that's where things can get tricky.
All right, well, let's take a look at what actually happened, step by step.
Okay, sounds good.
So first, Roth submits his initial offer to buy the land.
Right.
Molson comes back with a counteroffer.
Okay, and what does the counteroffer say?
Pretty much the same terms, but with a higher price.
Makes sense. Got to negotiate.
Right. Then Roth responds. But he signs in that counter-to-counter offer section.
So he's agreeing to the higher price, but...
But the signature is in the wrong place.
Yeah, not a clear acceptance.
Not at all. And that's where the court really zeroed in.
They did. So what did they say about it?
Well, the majority opinion highlighted a pretty key legal principle.
Okay, lay on me.
They said, an acceptance must be absolute and unqualified to create a contract.
Absolute and unqualified, huh?
Mm.
Sounds pretty serious.
It is. And, you know, connects right back to Roth's interesting signature choice.
So by signing where he did, he kind of messed things up.
Yeah, he definitely muddied the waters.
It wasn't a straightforward. Yes. So a reasonable person wouldn't necessarily see that as an acceptance.
Right. And the court really emphasized that, you know.
Emphasized what?
That using these standardized forms correctly is super important.
Oh, I see why. Especially in real estate.
Especially.
You don't want people playing games with the wording, right? It needs to be clear for everyone.
Exactly. So even though Roth technically agreed to Molson's terms, like he even wrote in the price and closing date himself, it didn't matter.
Wow. So it wasn't enough.
Nope. The court was very clear about that.
It's amazing how something as simple as where you sign can make or break a deal.
I know, right? It really makes you think twice about just signing things without reading carefully.
Absolutely. But wait, there's another twist to this story.
Oh.
Tell me more.
Remember I mentioned there was a dissenting opinion.
Oh, right. The judge who didn't agree with the majority.
That's the one.
So what did they think about all of this? Well, this judge thought the majority was being a little too strict, you know, like ignoring the fact that both parties clearly wanted to make the deal.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they both wanted the same thing.
Right. And that's exactly what the dissenting judge argued, that the court should have looked at the substance of the agreement, not just the technicality of the signature.
So it's a common sense versus the letter of the law.
Exactly. And that's what makes this case so interesting. There's room for debate, even in a seemingly black and white situation.
And that's why we love deep dives, right? You get to see all sides of the story.
It's all about exploring those nuances and getting a deeper understanding of the legal world.
Absolutely. And this difference of opinion, it really raises a question, right?
What is that?
Should courts always stick to the letter of the law, or should they consider the real-world intentions of the people involved.
It's a tricky balance, for sure.
It really is. And it makes you wonder, what would happen if Roth had just signed in the right spot?
Probably a very different outcome.
I'm sure. But unfortunately, that's not how this one played out.
Nope. Sometimes those small details can have big consequences.
That's for sure. Well, we've uncovered a lot about this real estate deal gone wrong, and there's still more to unpack.
Definitely, this case has a lot to teach us.
It does, so stay tuned, because in the next part, we'll dive into the outcome of the case and what it all means for you.
Can't wait. It really makes you think, doesn't it? Like, how much weight should intent have when the rules are so clear?
Yeah, it's a tough one. But in this case, the court definitely sided with the letter of the law.
Right. So what actually happened to our buyer and seller after all this legal drama?
Well, without a valid contract, the sale just fell apart.
Oh, wow. So it didn't go through at all?
Nope. Melson, the property owner, he was free to walk away.
Oh, man. That's got to be rough for Roth.
I know. You really feel for the guy.
They both wanted the deal, but this one tiny mistake cost him the property.
It's like a cautionary tale, right?
Absolutely. And it really highlights something important for everyone listening.
Okay, what's that?
Clear communication in contracts is crucial.
I mean, yeah, especially when you're talking about real estate.
Especially then. Even small details can have massive consequences.
I bet this whole experience has made you extra careful with contracts, huh?
You have no idea. It makes you think twice about just skimming and signing, you know?
I get it. You gotta really understand what you're agreeing to.
Exactly. It's not just about what you intend. It's about how you communicate that intention in writing.
Makes sense. Like, in everyday life, we use context to figure out what someone means.
Yeah, we fill in the gaps.
But in legal matters, precision is key.
Absolutely. No room for ambiguity.
So that's why having, like, legal expertise on your side can be so valuable.
Oh, absolutely. Imagine if Roth had talked to a real estate attorney before signing.
Yeah, it could have saved him a lot of trouble.
Totally. They could have pointed out those potential problems and made sure everything was crystal clear.
It's like having a translator for contract language.
That's a great way to put it. Helping you navigate all that legal jargon.
Right. So you don't accidentally trip yourself up.
Think about it like this. Would you do surgery on yourself without going to med school?
Definitely not.
Legal matters can be just as complex. Seeking professional help when needed is smart.
I think a lot of people try to handle things themselves, especially with all the info online.
Yeah, but this case shows how crucial expert guidance can be.
It's about knowing your limits.
And when to call in the pros. In this case, a little legal advice could have been a game changer.
Okay, so let's zoom out a bit. What are the big lessons our listeners can learn from this real estate roller coaster?
One major takeaway. Actions speak louder than words, at least in the eyes of the law.
So even if you're thinking, come on, it's obvious what I meant.
The court might not see it that way.
That's a really important point.
Clear, unambiguous communication, that's the key.
Especially in legal documents.
Make sure your actions match your desired outcome, you know?
Leave no room for interpretation, right?
Exactly. Okay, so let's say you're about to sign a contract, any kind of deal.
What's your advice to our listeners? What should they keep in mind?
First things first, read the entire document.
Yeah, no skimming.
If anything is unclear, ask for clarification.
Don't just assume you understand everything.
Right. And this case also reinforces getting legal advice when you need it.
Don't be afraid to ask for help.
A lawyer can help you navigate that tricky contract law world.
Make sure your interests are protected.
Like having a guide in a potentially confusing situation.
All right, here's a question for everyone listening. If you were in Roth's shoes, knowing what we know now, what would you have done differently?
Would you have been more cautious? Maybe gotten legal advice? Something to think about.
Yeah, it's like learning from someone else's mistakes.
So we can make better choices in the future. This case is a valuable lesson.
It shows how a simple misstep can have huge legal consequences.
And that's something we all need to be aware of.
Yeah, it makes you realize these cases, they might seem like dry legal stuff, but...
That they have real consequences?
They do. For real people.
And they could happen to anyone, you know?
It's a good reminder that the law is, well, it's always changing.
Always being interpreted in new ways.
Exactly. Makes it pretty fascinating, actually.
Definitely. Even something as simple as a signature.
Can turn into a big deal.
That's the thing with law, right? It's all connected.
All right, so as we wrap up our deep dive into this real estate saga.
Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, what are the key takeaways here?
I think the biggest one is just how important clear communication is in contracts.
Couldn't agree more.
Whether it's real estate, business deals, personal agreements, you name it.
Yeah, make sure you understand the terms.
Use clear language.
And don't hesitate to ask for help.
Exactly. Professional advice can be a lifesaver.
It's always better to be safe than sorry. Right.
Absolutely. Like that saying, an ounce of prevention
is worth a pound of cure.
That's the one. A little effort up front can save you a lot of trouble later.
And remember, legal stuff might seem intimidating, but
it's really about understanding your rights.
And your obligations. Making sure you're protected.
Well said. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our deep dive today.
We covered a lot of ground, that's for sure.
From contract law to clear communication to seeking expert advice.
Hopefully everyone learned something new.
And maybe got some insights to apply in their own lives.
It's been a pleasure unpacking this case with you.
Always fascinating to see how these legal principles work in the real world.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. And next time you're signing a contract,
remember John Roth
and his misplaced signature.
Dot your I's, cross your T's.
Until next time.